So I have a slide up here because I've learned the hard way that if you don't remind people 17 times, there are statistics out there that say that, about an event that's coming up, they're going to forget. And one person came to me and said, I really want to go, but I'm scared to death that I'm going to forget. Why are you scared to death? I'm not going to get mad at you, but here's what we're going to do. Sister Ruth, you're going to send out a prayer request. Me. And Lord. And so I will remind you, and then we'll send out a prayer request sometime on Wednesday to just say, hey, don't forget, it's today. Today's the day. This Wednesday, we're going to start at 5:30. There's enough people that have said, yes, I'll be there. There's a few of you that didn't vote, and so, you know, we're just going to ignore you for right now, but sorry. You're welcome to come anyway. So, I call it Bible study and prayer meeting, and I put it in that order because here are some of the quick ground rules, and I'll go over them again on Wednesday. But one of the ground rules is I don't believe in prayer lists that we hand out to everybody. I believe in bringing your own notebook and writing down your own prayers, okay, prayer requests. If people have prayer requests and you don't remember them, how can you pray for them? So I have paper or I have a book, a notebook, and I always bring it and I will write those things down. So that will be one of the things. I won't be handing out a prayer sheet to you. So just, you know, you're on your own figuring it out. Secondly, I want to spend time in God's Word talking about prayer. There's just some things that we need to know. And so this morning I thought it would be a good idea to introduce the whole topic, okay? How many of you feel like you know how to pray? You know what you should do when you pray. Okay, so that's good to know because I just put my hand up as an example, not because I know how to pray necessarily. I did spend a lot of time this week, I will admit, in prayer. I even did something rare. I fasted. I know you can't tell, but I did. And I did that, and I'm not patting myself on the back to tell you why, but I'm saying that I did that because this topic and the next month of messages was really weighing on me. I was getting kind of nervous. The Lord usually tells me what I'm going to preach. He usually lets me have a list, and I either have a title or at least the passages, and I kind of know, and so then I can, each week, I don't have to think of something as it were. I can just say, okay, well, I know where we're going here. Now, I also know that sometimes, and God has done this to me a number of times, where I'll wake up on a Monday morning and know that, okay, we're supposed to go to 1 Corinthians, and that's where I'm going to go. And as I pray and begin to read, I end up in Proverbs or Psalms or something. It's like, well, what am I doing over here? Because something has happened that I may not be aware of within the church body. And there's a message that God wants the body to have. And so I try to stay as attuned to Him as possible. So I gave the list to Sister Mona because she prepares music and does the bulletins and those kinds of things. And I forget sometimes to send it to her on Saturday or Sunday so she can have it for Monday. And so I thought, well, I'm just going to give her the list with the caveat, this is what it looks like now. But I spent time in prayer because I wanted to know, Lord, what am I supposed to preach? And also, we're going to start a prayer meeting, and we're going to talk about prayer. And so I want to know, what am I going to be doing? And so today, it's what is prayer? And we're going to look a little bit at what the Bible tells us. Folks, I'm not bringing in some study guide to you from Lifeway or any other place. They're all good, but they have very helpful hints. But when I come in to talk to you about prayer, it's going to be from God's Word, okay? If He says this is how we should pray, then that's how we should pray. I'm trying not to come in here and give you stuff that I made up. See, Jesus had a lot to say about prayer, and He apparently spent a great deal of time in prayer, according to the Gospels. I went through and did a little research, did a little counting, and I found at least 42 references to Jesus or Jesus made to prayer or to praying, and at least 42 times in the Gospels. And then I found 28 times that the Gospels record him, the gospel writers record that he was in prayer. We see a lot of times that the word tells us, and he went up to the mountain to pray. In fact, there are three gospel writers, and I'm going to give you the references right now. I'm not going to read them this morning, but you can read those later. But Matthew 14:23 says he went up to the mountain to pray. Mark 6:46, same situation, by the way, same time, but that his side of the story. And Luke 6:12, those are all about he went up into the mountain to pray. Now, Luke 9:28 is kind of important because Jesus spent some time in prayer, and then not too many verses later, he sets his face towards Jerusalem, knowing that he's going there to die on the cross. So it's clear that Jesus spent a good deal of time in prayer. He prayed in the wilderness. You remember he spent 40 days in the wilderness, right? Do you think he just walked around and looked at rocks? I mean, sorry, Joe, but he didn't, okay? He looked at rocks, I'm sure, during that time, but that's not all he did. He did other things as well. He prayed in the temple. He went to the temple and he prayed and did that several times. He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we just went through a season where we talked about that time, and his prayer was very earnest and very, I think, difficult, praying great drops of blood as he was so intense in his prayer. He also prayed on the cross. See, we don't think of many times of the things that he said on the cross. We don't often think of those as prayer because we think of prayer as being some highfalutin fancy words of, oh Lord, you know, we need you to do this and that and the other and you know, forgive me of my sins. But Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't even know what they're doing. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He prayed. Those are prayers. Sometimes we call them a sentence prayer. That's the fancy word that people have given to it today. But here's what I want you to get across. Prayer was so much a part of his life that early on, the disciples came to him and said, read Luke 11:1. He was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, the disciples let him pray. One of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, it's fascinating to me, and I want to talk about this another time, maybe during the Wednesday studies, but notice it doesn't say teach us how to pray. He didn't say teach us how to pray. They had enough examples of that in the temple and the Pharisees and the leaders and so forth. He said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. He wanted to know. I think the disciples were just surprised and amazed at the level of significance, the importance that Jesus put on prayer, the meaning that it had for him to spend time with his heavenly Father. Jesus' life was an expression of very close communication with Almighty God. There's no question about it. Now, in that time frame, remember, the disciples were Jewish, and so they had a lot of examples. They were well versed in the mechanics and the occasions for prayer. What most don't know was, what they didn't know was how to have the kind of this profound substance, this strong prayer life that Jesus had. They could see the pattern of his prayer life. They could see the witness of his time spent. They could see what was happening as he was living his life. And they knew that if it was important to him, then it had to be important to them as well. If it's important to Jesus, it's important to us as well today. See, because we forget sometimes that we are all disciples of Jesus. We're students. We're students of his. And so we just don't get to have the big D, okay, or the big A apostle thing. We don't get that necessarily, but we get the D. We get the disciples. And so if we're with the disciples, we're saying, Lord, teach us to pray. So not only how to do it, but when to do it and what to pray about. Now, having heard all of this sort of stuff and this beginning that we've talked about, I think we need to pray before we continue. We need to just exercise our time of conversation with the Lord. Some of the things that we're going to be doing in prayer I'm going to be up front with you, folks. It may be just a little uncomfortable for some of us, okay? People don't... I've noticed that Baptists especially don't like silence. I'm right there with you. If you haven't been around me long enough yet, you don't know. I have a hard time with silence also. Some folks don't like to pray out loud. When they say that, they don't mean that they don't mind, they don't like to pray out loud. What they mean is they don't like to pray out loud in front of other people. Because if the truth is told, I think all of us pray out loud at some time or another. We're by ourselves. So as we go along, I'm not going to ask you to do anything that I'm not doing also, okay? I'm also not going to ask anything of you that you honestly don't want to do. If you honestly say, I am not going to do that, I can't do it, then don't. It's okay. Wednesdays, we're going to be praying together. I'm going to ask people to pray out loud. But there is absolutely no requirement for you to do it. I'm not going to point to anybody and say, I want you to pray first. I'm not going to do that. Because see, prayer is not about Pastor Eddie, Brother Eddie leading it. Prayer is about the Holy Spirit leading it. Prayer is about praying to the Father in heaven. Prayer is about listening to what Jesus has said prayer is. And that's what we're going to do. And yeah, it'll be uncomfortable if you haven't been doing it. Okay? And only a couple of people raised their hands saying they felt like they knew how to pray. And so the rest of us, we've got some work to do, don't we? Because this is life-changing stuff. Not only life-changing for us, but life-changing for those we meet in the days to come. Would you join me in prayer now? Our Father in heaven, your name is so holy that we have to proclaim it before you and before those around us. And we're very careful the way we say it. Your name is holy, and we want to hold it up before the world to let the world know just how holy you are and how holy your name is. Father, as we continue to explore your word that you have preserved for us all these centuries, and as we learn to pray, how to pray, Father, I ask that we learn that. We learn how to pray according to your word. And Lord, I pray that as we pray, as we begin to learn this practice of communication with you, that we not only learn how to talk with you, but how to listen to you. Father, my hope and my prayer has been and continues to be that as we grow closer to you, that it will begin to change our lives and the lives of those around us. Lord, there's too many lost people in our community. We have no room to rest on our laurels. We have a lot of people to reach. We can't do it without you. Simple as that. So, Father, open our hearts, open our minds. Help us to learn how to pray. Help us to learn to pray. And, Father, thank you. I thank you for the privilege, for the awesome privilege you've given us, that you've granted us, that you, the maker of all things, the king of the universe, are willing to hear from your people. And Father, we pray it in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. So I have to ask the question, what is prayer? I did an internet search because that's the modern thing to do. Here's what I found when I just put in the word prayer. Now, I use DuckDuckGo, just in case you're wondering. I don't use that other one because I just decided not to. But that particular search engine gave me 862 million hits. That means articles, websites that evidently that use the word prayer, okay? And it might even be, you know, they don't have a prayer to win the World Series this year. It might even have been that kind of article. I don't know. I didn't go and read 862 million articles, I promise. But if I put in how to pray, because I thought, well, you know, prayer is one thing, but how to pray, I was astonished how many there were. Over a billion, with a B, billion hits. Now, some of those are to other gods, okay, and other things about how to pray. So you could discount a lot of those, but still, obviously, praying to a deity, praying to a god, is very important to people. It's very important. And then I put in how to pray Christian, because I thought, well, let's narrow this down a little bit and see what happens. And I got more than 83 million hits. A lot of them were articles about how to pray. I mean, literally, they would give you step by step, seven steps of how to pray. Okay. Some of them were books that they were trying to sell you how to pray. And so 83 million. So when I see that many views, that many hits on prayer and how to do it and whom to do it and so forth, you just imagine that a lot has been written about prayer over the years. People have been writing about it and talking about it for a long, long time. There also are several traditional, what we call books of prayers. You may have heard of some of these. Some of them are very old. They go back clear to the 16th century, and they're actually like the Book of Common Prayer that one of the denominations uses, and it's actually kind of interesting. If you ever want to spend some time in already written prayers, don't look down your nose at that, Baptists, okay? Because praying the Psalms is an excellent way to begin praying to the Lord. That's what a lot of the Psalms are, if not all. They are prayers to God Himself. We'll be looking at some of those in a little while. And so books of prayer are actually okay. When I'm talking about people have written down prayers and put them down. Do we need to be locked into them? No. I don't think so. But at the same time, if you're just not sure how to get started, it's a great way to get going. So what is prayer? What does it look like? Is there a particular mode that you have to be in? Do you have to have your hands clasped, your eyes closed, your head down? Or do you have to be up like this when you're praying? Do you have to be on your knees? Do you have to be laying on the ground face down before God? Do you have to be sitting down, standing up, kneeling? What does it look like? And so how do we do it? Which I think also comes into how often do we need to pray? Do we pray, you know, 3 times a day, 5 times a day, 7 times a day, 10 times a day, or without ceasing? The best source to find out the answers to this is the Word of God. I don't know any better source. Are there a lot of books out there? Yes. And can you use them? Yes. Can they help you? Absolutely. I have used numerous devotional books over the years and used them, and they also have a pray this. Not these words, but pray for this or pray about this. And that sometimes is a good guide to just kind of get you going. As a new Christian, when I first started trying to understand what prayer was, it was important. I knew it was important. And I was also astonished at how little I knew. And I was also surprised at how little many of the Christians around me knew about prayer. And so I want you to know the best source is the Word of God. The ultimate source is the living Word, Jesus Christ. So we want to look at His life and look at some of the things that He says about prayer. And that's what we're going to be looking at here in a little bit. Now, in its simplest definition, prayer is a conversation with God. How many of you have heard that before? Right? Some of you are nodding your head like, okay, yep. So prayer in its simplest definition, prayer is a conversation with God. But I'm going to tell you, in the beginning, as a new believer, I know that that was true. I knew that that was how I got started, was just talking to the Lord. But as time went on, as He allowed me to grow in my faith, I began to find out that prayer is much more. It becomes a lot more personal. It becomes a lot more valuable. And it's far more important than just an ordinary conversation. Nothing against conversations. I love to talk with people. Don't hear me wrong. And I love to talk with the Lord, but prayer became even more. It just became a lot deeper than that. All right, so what is it? First of all, prayer is calling on the name of the Lord. And I put up here in praise, in worship, and a key word, dependence. See, we Americans, we love to proclaim our independence. We can do everything on our own. We don't need any help. We can do it ourselves. Am I right? That's something that's kind of been taught to us and bred in us, I think, since the beginning of the country, which is not a bad thing. But our prayer needs to be calling on the Lord in dependence, depending on Him. And telling Him that we depend on Him and acknowledging, that's kind of what that is, acknowledging that we depend on Him. It's praising Him. It's worshiping Him. This is the funny thing about prayer too, by the way, and calling on the name of the Lord. That phrase, calling on the name of the Lord. First time it was mentioned is in Genesis 4:26. This is what it says, the people began to call in the name of the Lord. And that was the first time it's mentioned in there. We go all the way over to the prophets like Elijah in 1 Kings 18:24 when he's praying and he's praying to God to bring fire from heaven and, you know, evaporate and take care of the sacrifice that he had put on the altar and that they had put in water and all of that. This is a time when he called on the name of the Lord. How about the Psalms? Throughout the Psalms, you'll find the psalmist calling on the name of the Lord. This is just something that is done all the way through. It's a scripturally sound prayer when you call on his name. So therefore, prayer is directed to Almighty God as Lord, as the one that's in charge, as the one that we can count on, as the one that we can depend on. So what is prayer? Prayer is calling on the name of the Lord in praise, worship, and dependence. Here's another thing that prayer is. Calling on God for help and strength. If you had any time as a Christian, you've encountered a time when you needed help and you needed strength to get through some situation. Maybe you needed help and strength to take care of someone. Maybe you needed help and strength to take care of yourself. Maybe you just needed His help and strength to get through some sort of dark place in your life. And so this is, I would say, maybe the most common prayer. I give you some examples, Psalm 5, Psalm 12, 16, and 42. I just kind of picked those out as I went through the Psalms and looking for Psalms specifically that talked about help and strength. There's others, I'm sure. But Psalm 5, I want to read the first couple of verses of this just to hear kind of what we're talking about. This is David. He says, "Listen to my words, Lord. Consider my sighing." You know, that sighing. Life is really hard right now. And that's what he's saying. Pay attention to the sound of my cry. Do you ever cry and you don't want anybody to hear you crying? Because you don't really want anybody to come over and pat you on the back and say, it's going to be okay, it's going to be all right. Because right now you don't want it to be all right. Because right now it's not all right. And right now I'm going to cry about it. I know I'm not supposed to admit that, but I've been there. And there are just some times when you just reach that moment. And that's what he's saying. Pay attention to the sound of my cry. My King and my God, for I pray to you. See, David understood calling on the name of the Lord, calling on God for help and strength. And honestly, when we use the word prayer, I think most folks, this is the one that they think about. They think about calling on God for help and strength. They think of that as being when you say prayer, that's what they consider. How about prayer seeking God's face in the times of distress or in times of fear or times of great need? Now, that's a little different than help and strength, because help and strength, you may feel like, I can do this, but I'm going to need your help, Lord. But when we're talking about distress and we're talking about fear or great need, well, let's take an example. This is an example that God gave to Solomon. This is a classic time for God's people to pray. 2 Chronicles 7, 13 and 14. You're familiar with 14, but you got to remember 13, because this is what he said. If I shut the sky so there is no rain, or I command the grasshopper to consume the land, or if I send pestilence on my people, that sounds like pretty distressful times. That sounds like a time of great fear when those kinds of things are happening. Then he says, and my people who bear my name humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, and turn from their evil ways. Then he says, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. This is about as best example I could find of praying in times of distress, fear, or great need. But I have others. I want to share Psalm 4 with you. Psalms 4 and 20, and there's some others, but Psalms 4 says this. This is David again. He says, answer me when I call. Wait a minute, I got to go back. I'm sorry. Answer me when I call, God, who vindicates me. You've freed me from affliction. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. How long, exalted ones, will my honor be insulted? How long will you love what is worthless and pursue a lie? Selah. Know that the Lord has set apart the faithful for himself. The Lord will hear when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin on your bed. Reflect in your heart and be still. Selah. Offer sacrifices in righteousness and trust in the Lord. This is a prayer that the heading says night prayer, because it sounds like it's a prayer in which there's a time of distress and probably some fear that David felt, and he was expressing it to the Lord. Now, crying out when you're overwhelmed, this is the next most popular prayer. This is the O God prayer, when things are just wiping you out. You don't even know what to say. Illnesses, a diagnosis that you just had, a discovery that someone you love and care for is on death's bed, and you just have a sense of being overwhelmed. And our first reaction sometimes is just that feeling of being overwhelmed. Psalm 3 verses 3 and 4 says, but you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. When you're in distress, that's a good way to come to him, because you're saying, you're the one that shields me from everything. You're the one that protects me from everything. You're even the one that lifts up my head. It's so bad I can't even raise my head. I cry aloud to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy mountain. And there's that word, Selah. So, again, this is one of David that he was in time of just feeling like he was overwhelmed. Psalm 13 is another one I wanted to read to you, just a few verses. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long will I store up anxious concerns within me, agony in my mind every day? How long will my enemy dominate me? You see, David was not afraid to get right in God's face and say, I'm in trouble here. I need your help. You're the only place I can go. You're the only one I can talk to about this. Does this begin to give you a better picture of what prayer is? It's not just a conversation. Because when you're in trouble, when you're distressed, when you're overwhelmed, when you're wanting to call on His name, you're not just going to be saying, well, hey, Lord, how's it going? I'm doing okay. No, you're going to be getting after Him, asking for help and asking Him to do some specific things. I want you to go back this next few weeks and spend some time in the Psalms if you don't already, and look at how many times David says to the Lord to do some specific thing to his enemies. It's amazing. It's downright scary. And if God had done what David said to do, I think history would have been a whole lot different, because there would have been a whole lot of people gone, okay? Because he was asking for God to just wipe them out, just take them out. If you've ever prayed that, you know how David feels. Psalm 22 is another one that you may be familiar with. We heard this one a few times. My God, why have you forsaken me? And if you read that whole psalm, it is a very obviously a person in great distress who is definitely overwhelmed. There's a famous statement that there are no atheists in foxholes. Our modern atheists today will dispute that, claiming that they don't need to pray even if they are overwhelmed. But it's been my experience that even the most ardent is overwhelmed will often cry out, which is good news. Prayer is lifting out, It's lifting up your soul to God, as in Psalm 28. I want to read the first two verses of that one because it's just a simple, okay, Lord, here it is. Lord, I call to you, my rock. Do not be deaf to me. If you remain silent to me, I will be like those going down to the pit. Can you imagine if you're praying to God and you honestly don't think He's hearing you, that your prayer hit the ceiling and bounced right back down and never got any further? How distressful that is? How agonizing that would be? Just for the record, your prayers go past the ceiling. God hears them. On His throne, He hears. Listen to the sound of my pleading when I cry to you for help, when I lift my hands toward your holy sanctuary. Again, this is David bearing his soul, just saying, this is where I'm at. This is what I'm sensing, this is what I feel, this is what I'm thinking right now. It's a way of just, as they said, bearing your soul, just talking to Him straight up. There's a final prayer that I want to talk about, and this is perhaps could be one of the most important prayers, and this is approaching God's throne of grace and salvation. This is the first prayer that a believer prays and then knows within their heart that God has heard the prayer and acted on it. Because this is the one where we as a believer went before God and said, Lord, I am a sinner and I need your salvation. I need Jesus to save me. It's the first time I can remember when I prayed that prayer. I can remember that was the first time that I honestly believed that God had answered it. I'd been praying, saying the words for years, and I always had that thing in the back of my head of, I don't think God's really hearing this, because I'm not seeing any action. I'm not seeing anything change. I'm not seeing anything going differently. But when I prayed that prayer, I knew that there had been a change in me, in my heart, in my life. I knew I had been cleansed. Hebrews 4:16 says, therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. So that's not just at a time when you're thinking about salvation or a person is thinking about salvation. This is any time we go before the throne of grace and we do it with boldness. David did. Jesus did. Paul did. We can as well. There's no reason why we can't be bold going before God. Drawing near to God with a sincere heart. There's another one. Hebrews 10:22 tells us to draw near to Him. And sincere, do you remember what I've said about sincere? I'm going to say it real quick because I love this explanation of sincere. Back in the day, in that time, they would make these, you know, the vases, okay? Make them out of, we call it ceramic, but they use different materials, clay. And they would fire it up, and then sometimes it would hold liquid, and sometimes it would crack, right? And so it would have a little crack on it. Well, then what you do, today we get goofy glue, right? Gorilla glue, whatever, because we want to keep that vase. But what they didn't have that stuff, so they had wax. And so what they would do is they would put this wax in there, which would hold up as long as, you know, you didn't put too much pressure on it or put too much fluid in it, I guess. But those vases would then be able to hold. But what would happen is when they were trying to sell that vase, people would hold it up to the sun and look to see if they could see a crack. Because see, if there was a crack, even if there was wax in there, they could see it. And if it got hot enough, and if you've been to the Middle East, you know it gets pretty warm there. And it gets hot enough, that wax begins to melt. And guess what? The crack is still there and it's going to leak. So the word sincere comes from that phrase, without wax. It means that it's real. It's exactly the way it was made. And so with a sincere heart, we don't have a crack in our heart. We're not trying to pull anything over on God, as if you could. Trust me, people try. Okay, I hope I got the English right. To whom do we pray? I always laugh when I do that because I always forget the who and the whom. I had to teach it and I never got it right. But anyway, to whom do we pray? Who should we address when we're doing our prayer? So first of all, God the Creator. Now in Acts 4:24, the early church is quoted and by Luke is quoting them as praying to God the Creator. In Matthew 6:9, Jesus prayed to God the Father. And he even said, when they said, teach us to pray, he said, here's how you pray. Our Father in heaven. And so Matthew 6:9, that's his model. We'll be looking at that on a couple of Wednesdays from now. How about Job 41:11? This is God the Lord of all, which by the way is God speaking of himself. That's a phrase that he used with Job to explain who he was talking to. And then this is one that I've used a lot lately as I was practicing and preparing to lead the Christ in the Passover Seder, our God, King of the Universe. I discovered in my research that not only is the Hebrew, I mean, it's to me it just has a good sound, Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam. It is a phrase that is used by Jewish believers, who use that to address God and have done it for centuries. Our God, King of the Universe, thank you for the meal that we have just had. It nourished my body, and I feel a whole lot better. Amen. Simple prayer, huh? You don't have to go on and on and on. It's wonderful. But when they start off by addressing God, who is King of the Universe, it's a reminder of the person you're praying to. It's not just, you know, I have trouble sometimes, and I don't want to pick on anybody, but I have trouble sometimes. I've been in churches where the guy that's praying, and he's not always the pastor, but he'll get up there and make it sound like he's just talking to his buddy across the fence. And I think that that's okay. There's a time and a place for that prayer. But folks, can we remember who we are actually praying to? The one we're praying to is King of the Universe. He's the maker of all things. He's our Creator. Yes, He's our Father, but He is the Lord of all. We also have Luke 23:42. We have the criminal on the cross next to Jesus praying to him, essentially. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That's a prayer. We don't often think of that as a prayer, but consider who he was praying, to whom he was praying, and you realize he's praying to the Son of God, and so of course it's a prayer. And we also have Acts 7:59. This is Stephen being stoned, about to die, and he addresses Jesus and asks him to forgive those who are stoning him, if you remember. So we have that. So I think that we can pray to God the Father and God the Son. Now, there are no prayers specifically in Scripture that I have been able to find of people praying to God the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to sit here or stand here and tell you don't. I'm just going to say I haven't found anything in Scripture of people doing that. I have found numerous times when the Holy Spirit is he is speaking to believers in private prayers, in preaching, and in teaching. I clearly believe that he led Paul over and over and over into situations where he needed to pray, where he needed to teach, where he needed to be very bold. And so I like I said, I'm not going to tell you don't pray to God the Holy Spirit because he is God, but I'm going to say that I haven't found it in Scripture. But listen, because he's going to speak to us. Okay? Does that help? Jesus, most of all, most often prayed to God the Father. And it makes sense, since he's the Son of God, it makes sense that he would address his Father in heaven. But I just think that he prayed most often to God the Father. And I kind of suspect, this is just my opinion here, but I suspect that that's what our prayer should be directed as well. Again, if you pray to Jesus himself, then you're still praying to God. If you pray to the Holy Spirit, you're still praying to God. So I don't think there's any crime or any sin, but I'm going to say that if I'm going to use the Scripture and I'm going to use the living Word as my ultimate source of how to pray, of how I should be praying, then I'm going to try to use his model. We also need to see, as we come to the end here, that we come to God in prayer. He doesn't usually come to us. Now let me explain that. The Holy Spirit, I think, does indeed give a nudge. That's what we call it, or a check in the Spirit, or that kind of thing. And I think he does sometimes. But those are just, I think, guards or reminders or you need to go do this. When it comes to actual prayer, I think that we come to him because we have to be ready with that sincere heart. We have to be open to hear him. And so I think that's kind of what I find in Scripture. I find that we come to him. He doesn't come to us in prayer. We also need to see that we have a very important part to play if we really desire his answers. And so that what that means is if we're having a conversation with God, just like a conversation with a person face to face, what do you think about the person that talks to you and doesn't stop and let you talk? You just kind of get tired of it and walk away, right? I mean, that's what people do. Sometimes they just go, okay, I got to go because you're not going to listen, so I'm going to go. I think that's important, that when we're in prayer with God, part of it is hearing. It's listening to him. All right. For the Jews, at the time that Jesus was walking the earth, prayer was mostly a ritual. It was a ritual that they had to strictly adhere to. I think that's still found today. There are churches that have specific prayers that are to be prayed over and over and over, perhaps. They even have a way to count it to make sure they did it enough times. There are certain prayers that you're expected to pray. There's a certain mode that you're supposed to be in. And for the Jews, it was a ritual. It wasn't really, there was no power. There was no sincerity in much of what was passed off as prayer. I've mentioned before being in the not candlelight service, what did they call it? The when your mom passed and we went to that service before the funeral. Rosary, thank you. And so I remember that was the first time that I knew that the model prayer was the Our Father. I never knew that. I had heard all about this, you know, praying to Mary and praying to Our Father, but I had never realized that that's what that was. What bothered me, and I'm not, please don't hear me the wrong way, I'm not trying to criticize. It sounds critical because it bothered me. But that doesn't mean that it was wrong for them to do it if they were doing it with a sincere heart. But saying it over and over and over and over and looking at your watch, checking your nails, looking at your phone, doesn't sound like sincere prayer. So when we're praying to God, as we're going to discover as we get into this deeper and deeper on Wednesdays, we're going to discover that one of the reasons Jesus told us to go into a closet, they didn't have closets in those days. They barely had one room in their house, okay? They had maybe two rooms sometimes. And so they didn't really have a closet per se. That's an old King James word. It's actually a room. The word room is used. And he said to do that, and the reason is because what happens when we pray when the TV's on? Or the radio, or your phone's right next to it, and it goes immediately. It's like, oh, what happened? What happened? What happened? Those things are distractions, aren't they? And I know the story. I've been there too. The whole distraction thing that you're thinking about other things and you forget what you were going to be praying. I'm going to pray for this person and this person and this person. And you start off, okay, Lord, I want you to move in this person's life and bring healing. And I wonder if they're in the hospital yet. I wonder if I should be praying for someone else too. I've got these other names I need to put down. And before you know it, your mind is mine. It's gone. So the idea of prayer and coming to the Lord in prayer is to somehow learn how to make it more focused. Make it so that it's not the very thing that God told his people over and over that he didn't like. He takes no delight in what he calls meaningless repetitions. And we're going to talk about some of those. Some of you are going to get really mad at me, but that's okay. I'm pointing out what God's word says. Okay? If you go home and do it your own way, then you're on your own. I'm not there checking you out. So I'm not keeping score. I'm not making a grade. That's not my job. Okay? But I want your prayer life to grow and be powerful and change your life and change the life of those around you. What he wants is our heart. He wants the attitude of our heart, the way our heart is aligned up. He wants it to be, that's what he wants. That's what God is looking for. He's not looking for the eloquence. He's not looking for the number of words. He's not looking for how you said it, but did you say it from here? Is it sincere? It's more, if you haven't figured out by now. Prayer is more than just a conversation with God. It is truly an aligning of your whole self, all that we are, all that we have, all that we want, all that we desire, aligning it with the nature and the character and the will of Almighty God. Because then when you hear God telling you, I mean, you hear him. You recognize his voice of saying, this is what I want you to do. There's no debate. There's no, well, let me call my friends in the prayer chain and ask them to pray with me about this. Because there's no, none of that. You just say, yes, Lord, on my way. That's what started us on Wednesday night prayer meetings. See, I'll share with you that the Lord began nudging me quite a while ago. And I didn't argue with him. I just said, okay, well, my fear is I'll be here by myself, Lord. So what do I do? How do I handle this? And the basic thing was trust your church. Trust the church. Trust me. Trust the people in your church. I'm talking to them too, you know. And I can accept that 100%. So that's when you heard me start asking you, is this something you can get on board with? And I got enough yeses that I thought, okay, then we're going to do this. And then God began to show me what we're going to be looking at. And I thought, oh, yay, God, this is awesome. We're aligning with His character. We're aligning with His nature. We're aligning with His will. That's the important thing. I want you to remember who He is, the maker of heaven and earth. We also want to be aligned with the will and the nature and the character of His only Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're doing this not so that we can feel good about ourselves, but that we can give Him the glory He deserves. So my prayer is this. I put that up there for now, but here's what I'm going to say. I'm praying that your prayers in the day ahead will begin to fill you with a new sense of His presence, God's presence, and a new sense of power in your own life. I want Him to enliven your heart with joy. I want Him to enliven your heart with I call it a delight, where you just wow, where you just have this taste of heaven. You just know you've been in His presence. And when you've been in His presence, there's nothing better. I ask you to join with us this Wednesday. We're going to start about 5:30, and we're going to have a short study about praying out loud. This will be the topic for this week. Praying out loud with other people. Not at the same time, because that's babbling, but with prayer out loud and not being afraid of it and not being worried about it and not being concerned what they're thinking. Let's think about what He's thinking. And what I'm saying is it giving God the glory, or am I too nervous to pray in front of the people? And then, folks, we're going to practice. We're going to practice what we learn from God's Word. We're going to practice praying. And it's been my experience when we first start out, when we begin in a new church and start out praying on Wednesday night, there's some hearty souls that will pray, okay? There's usually 3 or 4 of them. Sometimes more, but there's usually 3 or 4. And the next week, those same 3 or 4 will be praying. And then the next week, those same 3 and 4 will be praying. And then Pastor Eddie says, okay, this week, you 3, I'll name them. You 4, I'll name them. You can't talk tonight. And we'll sit there in silence for a few minutes. And then finally, somebody will speak up. Now, I'm hoping it'll be different here. I suspect it will be, but now that I've told you that, of course. But I just hope that it is, because here's my hope. We should be out of here by 6:30-ish. I never put the Holy Spirit in a box, okay? If He tells me we got to be longer, we'll be longer. But our goal is to be pretty much out of here by 6:30 or so, because I don't want anybody driving home in the dark, number one. By the way, it doesn't get dark till after 7 now. And so nobody has that excuse. I'm looking at you because you're the one that brought that to me. So I also want you to know one other thing. We will be doing this for 10 weeks. Okay? And so, why are you only doing it 10 weeks? Because everybody gets tired. Simple as that. And prayer meetings can be very intense. Looking at what God says and then using it and practicing it can become very intense. And I don't want people to start dropping out. I want you to still come. I want more to come as we go along. So we'll stop. I think it's, if I counted my days right, I think it's June 23rd. I think that's what I put on the slide. June 23rd, it'll be the last Wednesday. Then we'll take about a month off, roughly, and we'll come back in August is the plan. Lord willing, we'll come back. Unless He changes it, and we'll do another 10 weeks, because by that time the sun will have moved across the sky. It'll start getting a little darker, a little earlier, and we'll do it 10 weeks again. That's the goal. And then we'll stop, and we'll see what happens. And what I mean by that is, will you as a church still want to meet and do this, and how will we do it? And we'll talk about that, and we'll figure it out. Okay? Does that make sense? My invitation this morning is for you to respond to the Lord in prayer. That's my invitation. So if you need to know the Lord Jesus and you say, you know, I'm not even sure that I'm a Christian here. I'm not even sure that I know who he, that I know that he is my Savior. I'm not even sure I know that. Then this is the time to get that right. If you need to be baptized, if you need to, if he is nudging you as you're praying and he's nudging you to become a member of this church, then we invite you to do that. If there's something else that you need us to pray with you about, this is that time. This is what we call an invitation. And this is something that we do as Baptists and that I do as a pastor, because I believe that once you've heard God, heard his word through me, then you need a time to respond before we let you get out the door. Because sometimes people want to respond, but they don't even know how. They don't know what to do, how to do it. Well, that's why we're here, okay? So if you will stand with me, please, I will pray, and then we will... Music team's going to be singing, and we're going to give you an opportunity to respond to the Lord. Let's pray together now. Our Father in heaven, simple prayer, Lord, is that we have learned a few things about prayer, what it means and what it looks like and how we're supposed to do it. So my prayer is this simply, Lord, that we have now heard this and now we need to respond to you. Father, we pray that you will speak to us, that we'll listen, even as the music is going, that we'll still hear your voice. Maybe the very words will speak to us. And Lord, that we'll respond to whatever it is you've asked us to respond to. And we do ask that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.